And tonight, by the grace of God, we will be looking at one passage in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, a very familiar passage which we would have come across. In the book of Luke, we will be discussing on the aspect of hidden victory. What happens when your victory is hidden? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 1 to 11. Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Half the church is there. If you are there, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of us are there. All right, let's go. 1, 2, go. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and they were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I'll do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Let's once again lift our eyes to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. The disciple Peter said, "Lord, where can we go from you? You have the words of eternal life." Today, O Lord God, let your word come alive once again as we meditate on it in the name of Jesus. And let your word anchor us to our hidden victories in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have prayed, amen and amen. So we see from that text, it's something that is very, very familiar for us, right? Peter, after the whole night of toil, he could not catch anything and he had actually come ashore. And the Lord, if we go back, just a few verses before, in verse 42 of Luke chapter 4, what the Lord was doing was, he had gone to a secluded place, the crowds were searching for him, and they came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. Verse 43, but he said, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You see, Jesus was preaching around, and he had come to the place of the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds were pressing on to him to hear him. It says that as if everybody had just come so close that the people who were far, he didn't have this before. Right? So the people who were far could not hear because everybody was crowding and Jesus needed some space. That's a context of the situation. But look at what happens. The Lord, what does he do? How does hidden victories manifest? For a fisherman whose boat was vacant, his nets were empty, victory appeared for him. How? First, the Lord was mindful of his vacant boat. The Lord was mindful of his vacant boat. What does a vacant boat signify? For us in these days, it signifies our dry seasons, the voids in our lives. The dry seasons in our lives, God wants to step into those dry seasons. They were usually getting a catch, but this time there was nothing. And what was he doing? He had left the boat, and the Lord stepped into that boat. Remember, when the Lord steps into your voids, when the Lord steps into your boat, it is not to sink your boat, but it is to steer it. Look at what he says to Peter in that verse. He doesn't say, he signals them. In verse 3, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put it out a little away from the land. He asked him to move the boat a little away from the land, as if the void was not enough. Now the Lord was stretching the void. Sometimes God stretches us in the place of our emptiness. Sometimes God pushes us in the place of emptiness to see, first thing, whether you are ready to hear him. Whether you are ready to hear him. Two, whether you are able to see the work that he is doing. To cause you and me to be aware of the work that is around. That is why God steps into our voids, not just to fill it anyhow, but to make us aware of what is happening around as well. What did he do? There was a need over there. The boat had to come a little afar so that God could speak to the people around. The people would be able to see, and everybody would be able to sit around, and the Lord would be able to give the word to those people. At that time, he would be able to preach to those people who were hungry for the word. Remember, your voids and my voids, God has a purpose. Your dry seasons, God has a purpose. God did not want Peter to make his boat better. God did not say, Peter, convert, turn your boat upside down, I want to stand on it. No, he didn't want him to reshape his void. All he wanted was, Peter, will you allow me to step into your boat? And would you move it the way I want it to move? Today the Lord is asking you the same question. I don't want you to reshape your void, the Lord is saying. I don't want you to remodel your empty seasons, but I want you to allow me, would you allow me to step into your void? What does this passage again tell us? What is the Lord mindful of? He's not just mindful of the boat, he's also mindful of the net that you mend. The Lord is mindful of the net that you mend. Look at that verse over there. In verse 2, he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets or mending their nets. You see, one thing about Peter, he did not abandon his net. When he did not get a catch, he did not say, oh, climate change, no fish. He did not say, better fishermen have come, I don't need this trade anymore. No, he didn't say all that. He went back to mending his net. And what does net signify? Net signifies a few things. Let's look at the first thing. It signifies the skills, the abilities that God has given you in the place of your planting. Wherever God has placed you, you are not without a skill or an ability. And
And when you don't see its result, it is not for you to abandon it and run away, but it is for you to mend it at that point of time, so that when the need comes, it will be ready for the Lord's use. So that when the need comes, it will be ready for the Lord's use. Ecclesiastes, that verse over there, it's on the screen. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, using a dull axe requires great strength. So what should you do? Sharpen the blade. And when do you sharpen the blade? Do you sharpen it when you use it? When it is idle is when you can sharpen the blade. And God equates that to wisdom. That's the value of wisdom. It helps you succeed. You see, those nets were nets of value, and if they were not mended, what would happen? It would become ineffective. Empty nets, if they are not mended, they become ineffective. So when you are going through a dry season, look at your abilities, what God has given. Let's also look at the next slide. Let's look at the life of Daniel. What did he do? Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Daniel and his friends, they were in Babylon, not the best place. They were in Babylon. And God had given them favor. And in verse 17, it says, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That was his net. That was his skill. That was the ability that God had given Daniel. He had understanding of all visions and dreams. Fast forward, the king has a dream, and the king says, king asked the people to not only to interpret the dream, to tell the dream and interpret it. And some people are not able to do it, and Daniel and his friends are sentenced to death along with all the other people. Now, at this point of time, when his existence is challenged, what does Daniel do? Daniel does not abandon his net. Daniel goes to God. Look at what happens in verse 13 to 19. I don't want you to read it at this point of time. You can go back home and read. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 13 to 19, what Daniel does is he uses wisdom. He asks the king for a time. He asks the commander for a time. And then he seeks the face of God. Remember, this man had the skill and the ability to interpret dreams and wisdom, but still he went back to God and he prayed and he asked God for showing the dream and interpreting it. And the Bible says God gave Daniel that understanding of the dream. He didn't abandon his net, but he went to God and asked God for wisdom in mending his net, in using his net. Are you seeking God's face? Are you seeking his guidance in using your skills and ability, both in the household and in the household of God and in the places wherever God has planted you? Are you sharpening your nets? Are you mending your nets? Nets also represent something else. Nets represent the influence of Christ that you shine through good works. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. The Lord says over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your good works, your Father. Now, what are those good works? Now, if you go down, you will see a lot of what the Lord talks about each of it. It concerns with your heart. It concerns with how you treat others. It goes with all that. But the summary of it, you see in Matthew 5, 43 to 45. Matthew 5, 43 to 45. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why? Look at the next part. That you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. And you see the good works of the Father over there? For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Your good works, my good works, are a reflection of the works of the good Father. Reflection of the works of the good Father. He causes the sun to shine, not just in partiality. He is good. He is good to the whole universe. Even to the ones who reviled Christ. Christ did not revile in return. But what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If you are a son of the good Father, if you are a daughter of the good Father, your net is your good works. It is that which attracts people, not to you, but to God. Are you mending your nets today? The Lord is giving us an opportunity tonight to see the hidden victories. God needs mended nets. God needs mended nets. And remember, it's repaired and prepared nets that God looks for. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. Ask your neighbor, how's your net? Ask your neighbor, how's your net? Have you mended it? Tell him I'm working on it. Right. Now, how did the hidden victory manifest? We all know what happened. But if you look at that, the hidden victory was just a few moments away, probably a few hours away from the night of toil. You may be here, you've been toiling for long, you've been looking for long, you've been struggling for long. The Lord is telling you here today, weeping may endure for a night, Psalm 30 verse 5, but joy comes in the morning. Tarry for the morning. Tarry for the morning. That's what Peter did. But it required something else from Peter. It required Peter to go to the same place of failure. The same place where he had failed before. He had to go again. And he had to go at a time and a season where the fish might not even appear. Remember, it's during the day that the Lord asked Peter to launch into the deep, to go into the deep. Now remember, during the daytime, the fishes go to the deep. The fishes go to the deep. But during the daytime, the fishes can see the net very well as well. And that's why they go to the deep, so that they are safe from predators. But the Lord said to Peter, what did he say? He said, go and cast your nets to the deep. And therefore, the hidden victory required an obedience from Peter, which was beyond all reasoning, which was beyond all understanding. A fisherman who knew the sea would not do that. He did not go by what he saw, but he went by what he heard. He went by what he heard. What does he say in verse 5? Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. At your word. That word, the word means rhema. It's used to describe the Lord speaking his dynamic living word in a believer to inbirth faith. It's described in the Helps Word Studies as a inwrought persuasion, which means the Lord kind of convincing people through his word to do something. And he was ready for the rhema. He was ready for the rhema. The hidden victory requires a surrender to the rhema, to God's inwrought persuasion. There are things that God is putting in your heart. He is nudging you. He is prompting in your heart to do something. Are you shunning it, or are you ready to go as per what he says? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Now, what happened? How did the hidden victory manifest? What happened when he obeyed the rhema? You see, the magnitude of their success was much beyond their preparation. The nets could not hold the catch. So much so that the boat could not hold the catch. They had to call another boat, and both were sinking. Both were sinking. That's what the Bible describes over there. What does it tell us about God? It tells us that God's goodness is much beyond our worth. Hidden victories expose the goodness of God beyond our worth. And that's actually a picture of the grace that God shows you and me. Amen. The grace that God shows you and me. You see, Peter had a need. Right? Peter did not even express it to God at that point of time. But God steps in and God shows this miraculous catch to Peter for you and me to learn something. There are voids in our lives which we don't want to even bring before God. By nature, we are sinners. And there is no way that I can overcome sin on my own. I might try to compensate for it with one thing or the other, but whatever I do, it will not be enough. I sin because I am a sinner. It's not the other way around. It's not when I sin that I become a sinner. Because I am a sinner, I sin. I cannot change my Indianness. I am an Indian, right? And there are certain things that Indians do that they cannot change. How many of us agree? Yeah. Right? There are certain things that we do because of the way where we come from, which we cannot change. The same way with sin. The nature of sin is inbuilt into man. That from the time that he is born and he comes to a reasonable understanding of things around, that he starts manipulating things. And he cannot change it himself. And when he knows that he is in the wrong, what does he try to do? He tries to rationalize it. He tries to compensate it. He tries to do many things. But what God says is, listen, I cannot act that way. I need to step into your void and I need to address it from the inside. And that's the picture that God God's grace is about. Titus 2 verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We are studying that verse in Romans, in the chapter of in the book of Romans 5, verse 15. It says, the second part of it, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness, God sends it through Jesus Christ. The price for yours and my sin was death, death on the cross, which you and I could never pay. And God showed his forgiveness to us by sending his son to the cross on yours and my behalf. That's the kind of grace that God shows. We try to pay God for our wrong. What God says is, I cannot be paid. I am the one who pays for your sins. And that's what God did on the cross. And that grace was not just limited to Christ's death on the cross. The grace was made available for us to have victory over sin when Christ rose up from the dead. So that now by faith, the Spirit of God, he could reside in you and me. And therefore, we could have real victory over sin. Amen. I thought we will be excited about that. The victory over sin was revealed on the cross, which was available for you and I, but it is still hidden from the world because the world is not able to understand. Today, you and I, God has brought us here once again to reveal that, once again for us to understand that. Do you want to receive God's forgiveness tonight? That's a question that God is asking you and me today. Do you want to receive that abundance of grace tonight? And that grace actually evokes a response. That grace evokes a response, and God is mindful of that response. And what is that? The Lord is mindful of the knees that you bend. Verse 8 of Luke chapter 5. What happens when Peter sees this miracle? Simon Peter saw it and he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see two things about Peter's response over there. When Jesus asks him to cast the net, he addresses him as master. Now, master means an appointee over. It can mean a teacher. It can mean somebody who has a command. But when he sees the goodness of God, what does he address the Lord Jesus Christ as? He addresses him as, depart from me, O Lord. Lord means the one who exercises complete authority and ownership. Complete authority and ownership. Absolute ownership rights. That was his point of surrender unto the Lord. And then what does he say? He says, listen, you and I are not supposed to be on the same boat. I cannot leave my boat. This is my profession. But Lord, you cannot be here. I am unworthy to house your presence. Lord, depart from me. The goodness of God brings one to repentance. The goodness of God causes you and me to realize, oh, we have received something much more than what we deserve. And the Lord was mindful of that bended knee. What does the Lord say? When Peter says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man, the Lord, oh, you were such a sinner, I didn't know that. That's not what the Lord said. The Lord says, in another translation, in Mark 1:17, the Lord says, follow me. Peter was saying, go away from me. The Lord was telling him, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you become fishers of men. And now that call that Jesus gave to Peter, the hidden victory for Peter at that point of time was not the miraculous catch of fish, was not trying to get a new net, was not trying to increase the size of his boat, but it was at that point of time to heed to that call. To heed to that call. Look at what it says in verse 11. When they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. You see, he was so amazed with the miraculous catch of fish. His obedience caught amazement, brought him amazement, but there was something else. When he started following God, he became an amazement. He became an amazement. Look at what it says in Acts 4 verse 13. It's there in the slide. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled or they were astonished. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. They realized that they had been with Jesus. The call to follow him, Peter took it seriously. Yes, he fell. Yes, he failed. But God was faithful to hold him at every point that he failed. And later, he became an amazement. Today, what is the Lord expecting from you and I? He still expects a grace, a response to the grace that he has given you and me, if we have received it. God still expects a response. Titus chapter 2, we read Titus chapter 2, 11, verses 12 to 14. We are coming to the conclusion. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, it says that the grace of God that has appeared to all men, that has brought salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I want us to rise up. And before the choir comes on stage, I want us to examine in this passage that the Lord has spoken to us. Today, the Lord is asking us, what are you doing with your nets? What are you doing with the abilities that God has given you? The skills that God has given you. Have you put it to use? What about the gift of salvation that God has given you? God has saved you and me for good works. Am I putting that to use, or have I buried it? What is my response to a hurtful world, and what are my words to a hurting world? How is my heart to a hurtful world? How is my heart to a hurting world?
What am I doing with the forgiveness that I have received? Am I extending it or have I buried it? What am I doing with my nets? Am I mending them? The Lord is also asking, what are you doing in your boat? The voids that you have in your life, are you allowing the Lord to step in to the voids? Am I allowing the Lord to step in into my voids? What are you doing with them? Are you waiting to hear from Him? And after having heard from Him, are you turning away or are you ready to obey His rhema? What are you doing about the call? Are you treating Him as a master when convenient, and then going about obeying your own master, which is your flesh? Or are you willing to surrender and call Him Lord, the absolute owner of your life? Am I willing to lay myself down again? And above all, do you know Him even as your master? Peter was hearing Him because he felt that this man had something to say. Today you might have come here not knowing Him in this manner. Today you might have come here just to hear because the Bible sounds good. Have you come to hear the Lord today? Are you willing to surrender yourself completely to Him today? Are you hearing His inward persuasion? That inwrought persuasion, that persuasion that compels, it doesn't condemn you, it convicts you, it compels you to look at the Son, to look at the Son of God who was crucified on the cross for yours and my sins. Are you looking at the crucified Lord today? If you are under any of these categories, let me call the choir to the stage. If you are here and there is a need for you to conform to God's word, even as the elders come, please come forward. Come forward. Come forward and surrender yourself to the Lord once again. If you have nets that are empty, you have been trying all night like Peter concerning a thing or two, and you have not found any success, come forward and ask the Lord for grace once again. Ask the Lord for wisdom. It's an opportunity for you to sharpen your nets. If your voids need to be filled, and you want to experience the infilling of the Lord once again in your heart, come forward. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. Any other prayer point as well, please come forward as the choir ministers.
Keeper, the God of our salvation. just who he is. Here, working in this place. you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness.
That is he that he is. He is the Lord. In Isaiah 45 verse 3, he said, I will give you hidden treasure, riches stored in secret place. But is your net ready to receive it? Is your net leaking? Have you amended that your net? These are the questions that you need to ask yourself. Because the Lord is mindful of all your vacant boats. The Lord is mindful of the net that you mend. You might be thinking that the open within that net is too wide. You've gotten the assurance this night that the victory is yours once you amend it, and God is seeing in that, yes, you have amended this net and is ready to shower that blessing upon you. Even when you kneel down and pray unto him, it's not deaf. It's listening to you. The question is, what is the nature of your net? How does it look like? Is it still new or is old? Is it torn? And are you amending it? When you amend it, what are you doing with it? These are the questions that you need to ask yourself. What are you doing with your net? God might have hidden that treasure, the treasure of victory, in a dark place. Is your net ready to receive it? Brethren, God's provision often comes unexpectedly. So, we thank God for what he has done this night. And I believe that we all know where our net need amendment. And we go back to amend it so that we can receive total victory. So shall it be. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to bless you and thank you, Lord, for another beautiful victory night before you. This is the second one this year. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have spoken. We thank you because you have opened our understanding that, yes, you are mindful of that net that we thought it has torn, that cannot be amended. Father, we thank you for your message we have had, and we are taking decision this night to amend our net in the right way, because we know that you are looking into it, because we know that you mind it. Father, we pray that your spirit continue to lead us and guide us to amend our ways in the right path. In the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the victory that you have granted us this evening. And we pray that that victory shall be permanent in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for those that are not here. The victory you have granted us, Lord, today, Lord, their own portion, it shall reach them in Jesus' name. For your son that you have used for us this evening, more anointing in Jesus' name. Concerning his job, Father, we pray every hidden victory, you will pull it out for him in the mighty name of Jesus. Bless the work of his hand. Bless sister, bless the children in the mighty name of Jesus. And bless him as well so that we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to bless your holy name for everyone that are present here this night. As we depart here, your presence shall lead us in Jesus' name. As we have come here safely, we shall reach back to our destination safely in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We thank you. Lord, when next we meet, by next month, let testimony from today's message, let testimony be abound in the mighty name of Jesus. The testimony beyond our expectation, the Lord will grant us in the mighty name of Jesus. That we will come over here and say, Lord, I received message in February that I should mend my net. I've done that. This is the testimony. So shall it be in Jesus' name. We pray for the rest of our program this month. Lord, most especially our night vigil for Thursday, your name shall be glorified in Jesus' name. And for Friday's service, your name shall be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. And for the rest of the year, all our programs, just as you have done for us in the month of January and February, you will perfect all our programs in Jesus' name. We bless you. We thank you, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we share the grace together in fellowship? And may the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. Do have a wonderful night rest.